Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Joining me on the podcast, the first time on this show, but first time not with me, of course. This is one of my friends out here in the Arizona Complex League, really anything Arizona-based. And one of the most fascinating things about it is Mr. Troy Collins has maybe the most prominent minor league Instagram account in the world. I didn't even realize this. I was talking with someone about this. Troy Collins, Baseball Life. You can find him and close to 1 million of his friends. Troy, what's up, buddy?
How's it going?
We're doing good, dude. I've known Troy for a little while. Troy does much more successfully the same stuff that I do. We have this funny joke where there'll be like photos or videos out there and you'll see two shadows, and the two shadows we had with the Jackson Merrill one recently was us, because Troy is out there every single day getting video. And Troy, you've taken a really interesting path to this, and we'll kind of talk about the path, and then we're going to talk about a bunch of these really great prospects that have been or are out here in Complex League and kind of your take on some of them. But Troy, you've built up this absolutely absurd Instagram account based solely on the world of prospects. I mean, we're talking MLB pipelines like 200,000. They're probably near the tippy top. You know, I didn't even think to look at like Baseball America. I'm going to look at that as we're talking. And Troy has built up this following of almost 1 million followers based on prospects, which is almost infallible. And by the way, Baseball America, 238,000 on there. So Troy, how did you even stumble upon this crazy success of, like, you know, Instagram prospect world, all of it? I mean, doing video and everything.
You know, it's been quite the ride. A lot of people, I'm going to take it back a little bit, because a lot of people don't know that, you know, my whole history in baseball. I started out in the scouting. I created the Powerade Player of the Year program for the Coca-Cola Powerade company. Then, you know, there's not a lot of money in scouting. So I was lucky to know a big time guy from Lee Steinberg back in the day. Him and I got together and we started our own baseball agency. So we built that up out of Newport Beach, California. We had great lawyers working with us. I was kind of the face of it, going out, you know, to meet the families, meet the kids, the players. We built it up really good, ran for 9 years. And then we had a lot of interest in other companies wanting to merge or, you know, take over. So we decided to let it go and take the money and run. And just that's how everything kind of got started for me is as I transitioned, during COVID, I wanted to do something that lifted people's spirits. And I started doing a lot of giveaways on Twitter for, you know, all through COVID. I mean, I'd have several every week. But one day, unfortunately, I say unfortunately that there has to be people like this, but that account got hacked.
Mm.
But fortunately for me, it created the huge craziness and party on Instagram I've had. And so I've had a lot of the impact I had over my years in baseball has helped me with my Instagram success. A lot of people that know me and knew me back 15 years ago, you know, have started following me. And I've just had a lot of luck, a lot of players. I've had Hall of Famers, follow me, post, you know, repost to their story. A lot of my videos, a lot of them appreciate the attention and love I give to the young players, because not a lot of people do, you know, especially at the low levels. And it's created such a big force of every family and extended family member of these players have all followed me, all the academies, all the coaches and the DR, and it goes on and on. Everybody I can imagine. It's been a whirlwind, but I'm just riding it out, having fun.
That's definitely right there. That's a line, if you know Troy, of just you're riding it out and having fun. And, you know, I knew Troy, I think, when you were in the like 200 to 300 range, I think, on Instagram, and it's blown up. And, you know, and listeners of the show will know, like, it's in the same realm. They're going to understand what you're saying because it's the same realm of like how I've been, but smaller degree of like with Twitter. And, you know, it's Mackenzie Gore and his parents hitting me up and these parents. But what Troy has done, and it's a really good outlet. I mean, it's similar to when you think about places like Pipeline and Baseball America, where, you know, if you go on their YouTubes, what are you going there for? Well, you're going to look for video of a certain prospect. Well, that is what Troy has done with his Instagram, in that pretty much every single prospect you got some video for. And you definitely don't. I get more pick and choosy, where it's like I'm looking for, you know, plays that have higher substance of like actionable items, like, you know, homer, or here's a double, or here's a big strikeout. But Troy will get videos of everything happening, from just highlighting a catcher to a pitcher. And that has kind of taken this steam and it just rolled. And I know we've asked you, you know, some of us, and I've asked you before, like on the fields of like, you know, how's it going? And, you know, how did it happen? And you're just like, I'm not sure. You know, you're just like, it just goes, and it's happened. And, you know, closing in on, and I don't know if you've like thought of it in that direction, Troy, but it's like the most successful minor league baseball, probably social account. I think social is a better way to say it, because I don't think there's anybody, I don't know what Baseball America is on Twitter either, but I'd have to say it's got to be close to one of the most successful minor league accounts across social media, which is pretty impressive. And you've kind of done it all off of sharing the good word of prospects and good vibes, right?
Yeah, exactly. I hope the work shows the love and passion I have for the game of baseball. Some of my best memories are my little league days playing baseball, going to the baseball field first thing Saturday morning, chasing them balls to trade them in for packs of cards back then, and just playing the game and all-stars and all that fun stuff. And I'm just fortunate that I'm in a position where I can spend the time doing it now, you know, every day. And like I tell the guys, I'll be out here with you guys when it's 110, I might be the only one out here, but I'm going to be out here with you guys. And it's just because I love the game.
That's right. Well, it'll be you and me, at least. It'll be you and me.
Of course,
rhetorical of like, you're bringing them out there when people aren't going to see it. And we'll tell you at the end, too, something you guys want to pay attention to, that it's not only just great videos, but you've brought the giveaways back. And we'll talk about it after we talk about some players at the end. But you want to follow Troy Collins Baseball Life on Instagram, because you have fully committed to great giveaways. And I want to talk about like one of the guys you got to, like, some of the, not just minor leaguers, of course, but like major leaguers have like taken part in, you know, hooking you up with stuff to do for giveaways. And we'll talk about one you did like last week. You want to talk about some of these guys that we've both been seeing here for a bit?
Yeah.
One of our favorites, I remember, I think it was during Bridge League. You and I were talking, and I think maybe I had said something about this person or maybe someone had been like, who's the most impressive? That's a pretty common question we hear around the circuit of complex in Arizona, is you'll just randomly come across somebody. And if you're out here a lot, they might be like, who's the most impressive person that you've seen? And I remember last year, one that you popped out with was Tyson Lewis. Tyson Yes. Lewis was definitely one of your guys really early on. I know you saw him a bunch. I was really impressed. And I had likened him kind of to, this is a crude one, but I likened him to Cooper Pratt. But I did it in that Cooper Pratt, to me, when I saw him the year prior, I think it was, like across rookie ball when he was out here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Warning. The following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Was Cooper Pratt just hit every time I saw him? That's something that stands out, whether you're like looking at a guy and you're just like, oh, does this guy hit a bunch of homers or what does he do? But there's something about when we're out here in complex and a guy is just always doing it, always getting on base. And that's what Tyson Lewis was doing last year. He ended up, I guess this was in the Bridge League now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah, so there were no like registered stats. But this year, I think there was like a little bit of injury that took him back. But I know he's going to play in the ACL. Yeah, he's currently on the injured 7-day list, and he'll move up. But he'd been playing out here in Complex League, rehabbing. He looks bigger. He looks way bigger, I thought. I feel like he's added like 15 pounds of muscle at least between Bridge League and now. And not only is he hitting 380, very small sample size, he's hitting 385. He's got a homer. He's got a stolen base. But he had that like 119 registered hit. And Troy, I was kicking myself. I was at that game, but I had to leave. I got his first at bat. I had to leave before. And I think it was his third at bat. He puts up this line drive homer that hit 119 off the bat. He's a massively, massively impressive guy. But at what level, especially over the last year of players that you've been seeing, at what level do you hold Tyson Lewis at?
Well, I tell everybody, Tyson's a type of kid. I mean, he's chiseled. He's 6'2", 195-ish, just chiseled, all-American type guy. If he chose to go to college, I truly believe when he would be done with college, he would have been the number one pick in the draft. Mm. He is so good, so talented. I mean, the tools that he has is unbelievable. to match the, you know, the power. True gamer. I love him. I saw him last night. I was with him. Really good guy. I believe he's going to be called up probably within the next week to get out of here. I think he's just going to tear through A-ball. And in fact, I told him last night that probably not this year, but next year, I'm projecting that he will be invited to the All-Star Futures game. And I told him if he is, he's going to see me in the stands. Just because I love the guy. Great guy.
He's a phenomenal guy too. That's another good point. And God, do all my listeners know, like, I will talk about kind of the demeanor of a player, because I sometimes think that that's an intangible that can, it's not a one for one, but the intangible of like how a person is can definitely put themselves back on the field. You know, a guy that's super just, you know, these guys that are just like got a chip on their shoulder. They're just kind of short with everybody, not great with their teammates. Like, how are they going to handle adversity? Tyson has definitely been a guy that is very loose going, very happy. You can tell he loves the game. He's great at the game. You can see his maturity. Like you said, chiseled. He has got physically bigger in that. He was like a skinnier-ish kid, not skinny, but he was a smaller-ish kid last year. And just in 6 months, the guy's just added such significant baseball muscle, and that the production out here has been so good. That the only bad news you just gave to me, though, is that he's going to be leaving soon, like in a week, that we're not going to get to see him anymore, but then he'll be in A-ball. So that's a little sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he would have already been out of here if he didn't get injured.
Yeah. Him and Cam Collier started his rehab assignment, I believe, yesterday. So they'll probably be leaving right around the same amount of time. Another guy that I really liked, and I was hoping to see out here in the complex a bit more, that he left right before complex started up, and I believe it was right around the Jackson Merrill time, and he was someone that you had really became good friends with out here, was Cobb Hightower. Cobb Hightower with the San Diego Padres. He was a third round pick. Really another one of those impressive type of guys where, you know, they had like Kale Fountain, super, super, super interesting. I got this great stolen base video of him the other day, and there's a lot to like about him, but I felt like in that draft class, there were, Kevin Tears was exciting and Kale Fountain. Cobb kind of just sat there maybe without the fanfare, but at the end of the day, maybe that shouldn't be the case. So he jumped up. He hasn't been lighting up the scoreboard, but he's only hit .238. But he's got a .385 OBP, which is massively impressive. And he has more walks than strikeouts at A-ball. So this is a 20-year-old kid in his first professional, like, statistical games he's locking up, going to A-ball. And we just missed him in the complex. What are your thoughts on Cobb Hightower?
Well, you pointed out one very important stat, that he has more walks than strikeouts. That is one of the biggest things when teams get all analytical into these players that they truly look for. I mean, he could be, you know, hitting .238 right now, but they'll look into more the walks versus strikeouts. And that's someone that as he advances, he can continue to improve and continue to have a higher average. And he's the type of guy, all around player. Perfect example is, last year, I was watching him in surprise at the Royals facility. I was next to a couple of Royals scouts that I know, and they were talking just within each other. And when Cobb came up, they were saying how upset they were that they didn't grab Cobb earlier because they really had high interest in him, and that the Padres came in and grabbed him and they lost out on him. So when you get teams talking like that, especially, you know, your scouts and, you know, player personnel, that's huge. You know, they're very impressed with him. I love him. I know him well. Got to know his family. Just a great kid out of North Carolina. I think he'll have great success as he moves up.
You know, a really fun experience I get to see is the different levels of these players that know Troy, by the way. And you'll get these guys that like become really, really friendly. And like Kale Fountain is one of those. Like you and Kale are like on a really good one. And Cobb, I think, as well. And obviously there could be like different degrees of relationships based on, you know, guys from the Dominican and how their English is and stuff like that. But like, yeah. Kale and Cobb.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
I saw your interactions with Cobb a bunch. You talked to him a bunch, but Kale Fountain also, like, you guys have kind of gone next level. And that's a really cool thing, you know, to carry over, you know, in years to come. You get to look back and, you know, that's something that I've experienced where, you know, you're around these guys and I've talked about it a million times on here, but, you know, I'm interviewing, you know, Julio Rodriguez and Jared Kelnick and stuff like that. And then, you know, Jackson Merrill, Corbin Carroll, you're around these guys, you build relationships and then they're in the majors and they're successful. And it's like that, that is what is so unique. As you pointed out earlier, that guys like you and me get to do where we're at this very beginning stage and we get to build these relationships. And sometimes, you know, we get to give them the first video they've ever seen, or we get to, my favorite thing is you get, you know, a guy's first professional hit and you get to kind of share that with them, or home run. Like it's super special to these guys and the relationship kind of goes with it. And you've definitely built that with not only Kale Fountain, but with Cobb Hightower.
Yeah. Yeah. I was able to get Cobb's first and second professional home runs. So that earned me some points with his parents as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty slick. One other guy, to get into negative here in a second, but that question that I brought up, or that statement where I said, where people will come up and they'll be like, who's the most impressive? You know, who are the most impressive guys that you guys have seen out here? And I kind of said this the other day, and I've had two other people echo, maybe a couple other players with it, but these two players have been echoed across the board. And I'm curious if you agree with this, sticking strictly to complex for a second, because like Cobb doesn't count, but Johnny Level with the San Francisco Giants, I had some questions about when he first came up. It was more about, you know, the body is, you talk about the prototypical body that like Tyson Lewis has. Johnny Level doesn't quite have that. It's almost like a Jose Ramirez-esque type of body or something like that. A little bit shorter, a little bit stouter, but man, does he put wood on the ball. It's crazy. 275 though. 11 hits. He's got 5 doubles in complex, which I think let me look here. I want to say he's near the tippy top. Yeah, he's second in doubles in the league right now. 4 stolen bases, 362 OBP. He's been really solid. And the other person in the same breath when they say Johnny Level, who's impressive, it's Josue Lugo with the Angels, who is tied for 3rd in hits in complex. He's hitting 314. He's got a little bit more of there's more aggression in the swing. 11 strikeouts, only 1 walk. So it's kind of been an all or nothing type of thing, but he's got much more of a very impressive prototypical body, really pushes at bats. Like I think there's a lot of star power in Lugo. When that question is put to you, who are the most impressive guys in complex that you've seen? We're going to talk about some other guys on the list here in a little bit, but do Lugo and Level both come up for you when you think about the most impressive bats out here?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of, you know, Johnny Levels. He's got a compact swing. He's a true gamer. He hustles out everything. He might not have the prototypical size, but there's a lot of players nowadays that have shown you don't need to be 6'3", 215 to, you know, have a great career. There's a lot of guys that are really doing well that are what you would talk about, smaller, you know, framed guys. Lugo, I mean, he has the build. I never liked to talk, you know, different about guys or negative about guys.
Sure.
But I think Lugo has a little bit more room to improve on the mental side of the game from what I've seen. The easy, quick frustration, kind of the laziness of not running stuff out at this age. He's got a, that can't happen. You know, the coaches have talked to him about it. He's got to improve on that because let's face it. Baseball is a massively mental game. You don't have it between the ears. You're not going to make it past A ball. So
That's very well said too. And we have seen countless instances of that over the years at this level too. And very uniquely is sometimes you will see signs of this that does not get treated. And then it pokes his head. Like, I mean, I'll just throw this out. Cole Kerrig is kind of an example of that. I think they've maybe rectified some of it, but you know, Kerrig had, and it's different because there's different things with players. You know, sometimes there's a hustle, sometimes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
It's strictly maybe just between the ears, like you said. There's a multitude of different things. But like, I've talked about it on this show. Cole Kerrig had some, I don't know, stuff when he was out here in Complex that, you know, some intensity that maybe seemed directed in weird ways. And then last year, Kerrig was, I mean, kind of punished. He was sent down here for about a week and it was a disciplinary thing because he kind of had like a freak out at, I think it was low A or high A. I don't remember the direction. It doesn't matter, but he was sent down for about a week. And I think it was like a very humbling experience. So it is unique in that, like, you know, you can start to see some of those early signs and it's like, is a team equipped to be able to nip it in the bud? And do they start to tackle that whatsoever? So that's interesting take.
Yeah. Teams have, you know, especially now they have, every team has the mental coaches, especially at the, you know, this level, they take the guys aside, you know, and it's, let's face it, it's a huge change when some of these players, you know, come up stateside for the first time. You know, they've got to learn everything new. So it has an impact on the players. They do start getting them ready for it at an early age. And, you know, if you compare, say, a 16-year-old kid who's, you know, played ball for several years and who's gotten into, you know, an organization to a normal 16-year-old, I would say that the player is going to be a lot more mature because of their lifestyle and because of who they're around. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Lugo has plenty of upside. He obviously is rated very high, so he can work through things like that. But that's what I really love about what we get to see is we get to see those little things that no one ever gets to see. And so you kind of, you know, you don't, I don't like picking apart any player.
Sure.
You know, but because that's the coaches and teams jobs. But, you know, I will from time to time when I see a player, you know, at this level doing that already. It's just not a good thing. I mean, look what the Mets are going through with Soto right now. That's a whole nother big $700+ million issue.
I was just talking on my Fantasy Pros show where it was like, what do you even do? You know, it's like they're like, oh, you know, Mendoza, going to Mendoza, like, hey, you didn't hustle. You know, are you going to talk to him about it? And it's like you can, but if he decides to be a guy that doesn't want to hear it, $700 million is also going to help him plug those ears a little bit more too. So to your point, like nipping in the bud early is interesting. I would say this though, too. I think people know this about me. Obviously I work as an analyst and stuff like that. I will break down positively or negatively players a lot more, but my caveat is always this, Troy, I don't think we've ever talked about this, but I think there are so many people out there that treat the developmental process as a linear path, and it is not a linear path. And that's why, even if we talk about any potential negatives of like, hey, this guy has a swing problem or there's a whatever it is, it does not mean that it's not fixable. And these guys are here for a reason, especially these guys, even at these lower levels, they're here for a reason. The talent speaks for itself. So I'm a little bit more comfortable in that type of analysis while expressing and accepting that nothing has to be permanent. There are so many players that have battled through and fixed or changed a lot of these things. So, for any of the players listening, you know, any negative doesn't have to be a permanent negative. That doesn't ever have to be. It's just, this is what the current state is. And that transitions kind of perfectly into a bigger topic. It's interesting because I was going to see him today potentially, but Charlie Condon, I've been pretty vocal about at least what I have seen here, but Charlie Condon has had a rough go here. He's kind of had a rough professional start in general. Just, you know, he's out, he's okay, he gets hurt, he kind of keeps lingering and lingering. It lingered all the way until Complex League started up, and he wasn't really great out here. And he's obviously a massively talented baseball player. I mean, in college, he was prolific. I might be cursing him, by the way, because every time I see him, oh, it's bad. And then the day I didn't see him last week, he was 3-for-3, and he really popped some stuff back up. I put some video out there. You know, his pitch recognition looks pretty poor right now. Obviously, the physical demeanor of like who he is and when he makes contact is awesome. He's just had an up and down kind of run since he's been out here. I've seen some really poor off-speed pitch recognition for what is an older prospect that's out here. He played some first base, and he was officially called up to Spokane today. So I'm curious if you got any takes on Charlie Condon, because even though his struggles, you know, you don't want a 22-year-old struggling in Complex League, especially at this degree and this amount of time. It doesn't mean, this is very early in the development, it doesn't mean that it's all done, but Colorado Rockies development's a little concerning. The pitch recognition, we hope, is going to take a bounce back. But what is your take on Charlie Condon and what you've possibly seen out here with him?
Well, I know right now that the Rockies are praying that he turns it up and gets it together because they're in need of, you know, some good news.
Understated. Charlie, yeah.
I haven't seen him much, but I will say I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he, his injury and him working through some things maybe created some of the poor display, you know, hitting habits here. If he goes off to Spokane, you know, and continues that, then I would really start worrying because he's going to see better pitching. They're going to throw more accurate there, you know, which here, you know, I saw on Saturday, you know, at the Guardians, David Fry rehabbing, and yep. He had on two separate at-bats, one thrown right by his chin. You know,
and that I was with you on accident. That one. It looked like he almost got hit in the temple. Like he did a little matrix, like pullback on one of those pitches.
Yeah. So, and I know these, especially the big league guys, they like to get out of here real quick because you got a lot of 18-year-olds that are still, you know, learning to pitch and throw, and they get a little excited when they get to pitch against a big league guy that's rehabbing. So in the case of Condon, I'm just going to say, I wish him the best in Spokane, and I think we'll see his numbers improve there, and just hopefully that happens for him. It just takes off from there.
Do you hold anything of age to this level? Because let me give you an example across the board. And I think you know this guy, and he has been ridiculous out here, but Victor Figueroa with the Padres is hitting 600 out here right now. He's hit 5 homers. You and I got video of a homer. I don't remember what day it was. I think we were there together, but it was an awesome home run that he absolutely crushed. And we got video out there of it. But he has, you know, almost as many walks as strikeouts. He's stolen a couple bases, 5 homers. He's hitting 600. Here's the caveat. He's 21 years old, but he's a big 6'5", 240 guy. It's like Condon. You know, he's a big, I mean, Condon's a little, little bit smaller, but Figueroa is kind of a classic first base body, but a really great lefty swing. You had told me this, he had hurt his finger or something like that, and he's been out here and he's rehabbing. So like, you know, like, do you hold anything against a guy that's older at these levels, or when you're comparing, like, Condon, you see Condon kind of struggle at his age here, and then you see Figueroa dominate? Like, I mean, does that to you tell you that maybe Figueroa is more of a guy than people are giving credit for, or maybe Condon is a step down?
Well, I believe that Victor, he'll be called up any day. He's completely shown crushing this pitching here. For a late round pick last year, you know, just getting to play a little bit of pro ball, he was a guy that I said last year, once he starts getting to the upper levels, high A, double A, he should really start, you know, smoking that ball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey. It was a great pick for the Padres. You know, it truly was. Great guy. I do know Figgy. They call him Figgy.
Yeah.
I know him very well. And I do believe that we're probably going to see him probably later in the year enter the Padres top 30 prospect chart.
I think you're going to see like the revamp, like with Pop Pipeline or something, does like the revamped top 30. I kind of think Figgy's got to be up there as well, because he makes some really good decisions. And you don't need, I mean, I don't need to say anything. I can just say he's hitting 605 in the complex league. But again, selfishly sad to see him kind of go. But, you know, it's just interesting. It's like there's another kind of older guy who has absolutely met every single call out here, and he's hitting off speed. And I want to say a big homer the other day, was that like a breaking ball that he just smashed? Do you remember?
Yeah, that was at the Guardians last week.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it was like some breaking pitch. He absolutely smashed. All right, a couple other things, and I want to get your take on – actually, we'll just jump to this, and we'll get your take on some other guys that you really like. The bloodlines in the complex, they're here. They're always kind of floating around here. But this year, we got a couple interesting guys. Lucas Ramirez, who we got that first professional home run out there. That was fun. He's shown some real signs of life. And yesterday, I got to see Jaden Fielder, who, you know, it's such a trip from Cecil to Prince to him. He's out here playing like left field. Difference between the two guys is, and I've said this in the past, that sometimes the order of where a guy is hitting can kind of tell you about maybe team's current views. That was something I always battled with Luis Angel Acuña, where everyone was like, oh, he's nothing, da da da. And I was like, well, you know, Rangers are hitting him three. Like, they must think his bat is live to be hitting him three the whole time. You see Lucas hitting between four and five. Jaden is a little bit further down. He was hitting eight yesterday, so they don't have him in any prominent spot in the lineup. But they also did have Jefferson Cuero and Tyler Black rehabbing. But I'm curious at any takes you have on both these very familiar bloodlines and Manny Ramirez and Prince Fielder's son, who are both playing out here. You and I have both seen Lucas together. We have not watched Fielder together. But what's your take on both these guys?
I mean, I like Lucas. I think, you know, after talking with him and obviously, you know, knowing who his dad is, he's been around the game for a long time. So I believe that kids who've been around the game and grew up in the game definitely have an advantage. Definitely are more confident. And for a relatively lower draft pick, I think Lucas could develop into a solid ball player in time. Jaden went undrafted. You know, then the Brewers signed him to a free agent contract. I believe, you know, I mean, his numbers show for themselves. Again, you know, nine walks, 10 strikeouts, you know, hitting what, 323 right now, or right around there. I think he's really turned it up a notch, and he wants to improve, and he's got the drive to you know, continue to improve. I mean, I want to just kind of go off base a little bit, and I want to talk about a funny story and not so funny story he told me about when I spent some time chatting with him.
This is Jaden.
This is Jaden Filler. Okay. Yeah. Jaden's trainer lives roughly half hour, 40 minutes from them in Florida. And they recently had one of their hurricanes come through, and his trainer, he has a pond out in his backyard. And all of a sudden, apparently he had a bunch of alligators who flew from the storm into the backyard, into the pond. And he was telling me about the story, and he goes, yeah, the fish and game won't take them out because it's a natural habitat for them. And so now his trainer can't even let his dogs run outside. So he's got to worry about that all the time.
Because the storm brought in alligators?
Storm. Yep.
That
true story.
That's hilarious. And nothing he would experience out here in Arizona, by the way. Nothing exactly. You would experience. You might have iguanas or javelina or something, but not alligators. That's very also, surprisingly, I have this envision of him telling the story too, by the way. He's a very cool cucumber. Both of those guys are something that maybe, I don't know what it equates to, because talent is talent at the end of the day. And I think Jaden's got some real potential. Like he's got his father's bat speed. He has tremendous bat speed. Coming along with it is going to have to be, pitch recognition and finding out what type of hitter you are. Like, you're not going to get away with as much stuff as you might have gotten away with before. But at the end of the day, you said he's hitting over 300. But one thing that you notice as an intangible about these guys that have been around the game like these guys are, cool as can be. Lucas, cool as can be, kind of unfazed. Jaden, unfazed by people or the game or the task at hand. And you definitely don't see that with everybody else.
Right, exactly. You don't. I'm going to point out too, another thing you talked to me about is, you'll have to excuse me, I forgot his younger brother's name. But his younger brother is going to be picked in the top 10 rounds this year. In this year's draft. He's really come on strong, and he says he's really good.
Now I got to look. Prince Fielder kids. Chandler Fielder? No. He has two Prince Fielders. Well, I'm looking here. Jaden. Oh, now this is going to kill me. Who is it? This is going to kill me. I want to say... Prince Fielder. I don't know.
I completely forgot.
Yeah. Now that's all that I want to know. Someone is just screaming at us here. Well, it's not Chandler, definitely, but we'll figure. Oh, wait. Prince's kids. Here we go. Haven Fielder.
Yeah.
Yeah. 17 years old. There we go. Haven Fielder. That's wild that there's going to be multiple Fielders out there. And they both look different versions of Prince too, by the way. Haven looks like a little bit of a bigger guy, and Jaden's he's a little bit more athletic looking than the entire family.
Yeah.
If you had to side on one of them, if you were siding on Lucas or Jaden, are you going to side with Lucas as far as like maybe best potential of being a major leaguer?
I'm not going to side on either.
Yeah, exactly.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
That is a very perfect political response. Okay, so then last one, how about this? Drop us some guys that, we see so many players. I'll get more hyper-focused on, some of the higher prospects or someone that's really jumping in. Like a guy we didn't talk about that I kind of nixed was like Yolfrin Castillo, who I really love. And he's done something that I love for players to be able to do this. And I think this is a real sign of a player being able to find adversity here while really struggling and get out of it. And Yolfrin did that. And I think that kind of speaks wonders. I'm waiting for JD Dix to do that. He started and extended. He looked incredible. He's kind of pared down a little bit. He's hitting around 240. I'm waiting for him to take that next notch up. How do these guys battle back from adversity is a really fun one. But open floor to you to talk about some guys out here that are shining that you want to hit.
I'm going to throw one name out on the Texas Rangers. Devin Fitzgerald. Young guy. I mean, he's got 10 walks on 3 strikeouts, hitting over 340. Just someone you never talk about, smaller guy, and you never hear about, but he definitely deserves some serious props. He's tearing it up. He's going to be out of here soon. I'm sure of it. It was a draft pick last year, but just a great, great young ball player, you know, kind of similar size to say Johnny Level. But just compact and can play ball, you know, loves the game.
He's the only guy in the complex league with double digit walks who's hitting over 300. So there are 7 players that have 10 or more walks. He's the only one 300. And by the way, he, like you said, 3 strikeouts, which is just absolutely absurd. Any other players stand out that you want to hit?
Yeah. And then you got another guy who's been here. I think this is going to be the 3rd year. George Feliz,
yeah,
on the Mariners, hitting 390. He's got more walks than strikeouts. And it's all of a sudden he's put it together. So he's finally going to get his way out of here and get up into A ball and continue this. I mean, something clicked for him, and the Mariners gave him the time. Some organizations take their time with, players. The Mariners happen to be one of those organizations, and all of a sudden, I'm happy. George is a good guy. Obviously, I know him because he's been down here for, you know, a few years. But it's great to see someone like that doing great.
Yeah, and he looks bigger too, by the way, because unfortunately we've seen him for 3 straight years. This is the first year it looks like he physically added a lot of muscle. Just looks 10 to 15 pounds heavier than in a good way that he has. Also, I give a shout out to our boy Dory Fernandez, who we've seen over this last week a couple times, who I didn't realize this, but he's 2nd in the league in hits. He's got 3. I think he leads the league in triples. He's near the top in doubles. He's got double the walks than strikeouts, and he's hitting 475. And he's a guy that's been hitting like in between, you know, David Fry and Chase DeLauder and George Valera. He's kind of been there. And when you and I have been out, he has been absolutely showing out.
He has. He's a great young ball player. Fun to watch. Under the radar.
Totally under the radar.
He's not on their top 30, you know, and he hasn't shown up on any, you know, rankings, but he's going too soon.
That's right. That's right. Troy Collins, baseball life. So one of the really cool things that you have done so much, and I think it has obviously helped in your growth, because you're a very genuine person. That's the other great thing. Like, you love baseball. You give time to a lot of people. You get players that hit you up. You get people that are hitting you up for advice. Troy's a fantastic person. And we can't say always that everybody around baseball, even doing this, are fantastic people. But Troy is. And one of the things that you've done in extending that is you do giveaways. You do these giveaways every single week. Last week, and that was what I was leading up to, you know, like, you get guys that are down with it. Jackson Merrill wanted to help you out. Jackson Merrill got you some stuff, and you met up with him, and you were able to do this awesome giveaway for him last week. This week, I believe you've got another incredible one with Trevor Hoffman. We saw Trevor Hoffman hanging out at some games, and he is a fantastic person. You kind of said during COVID that was the idea, is you just wanted to expand some cool positivity and stuff like that. You got a very West Coast vibe. I don't think I've ever asked you where you're from. I'm from California. There's a very West Coast vibe of goodness from Troy, but you obviously you just extended the-